Praise God. Well, I get excited in that song. How about you? That yes, she is. Boy, I'll just be saying yes all the way through the song. We came back from conference and they did that one. And some of you know Graylin Surratt, been in that church for years. He's this black guy. And I'm telling you, when we got to the yeses of that song, he was running from one side and jumping every time we said yes. How many know it's okay to get excited in the house of God? I mean, I'm thankful that God has delivered me. I can scream a lot louder for Jesus than the Denver Broncos. Amen. Praise God. We're glad you're here today. And just a few announcements. This week, we've got, amen. Wednesday night will be our next service. That'll be at 7 p.m. And then, praise God, no youth this week, and there's no men's discipleship this week. Couple other things. If you want to be on our church text list, that's what we use for special prayer requests. It's what we use for special meetings, men's or women's or church or whatever. And anyways, you can just give myself or Robin your telephone number. We don't use it for any. It's not a, you don't have to talk back. You just get those texts. And then also we're still taking down a list of people that we're going to do a parenting class. And go to God's Word. How many want to raise your kids right? So God knew about kids long before you and I did. And so we're going to have just a good time. We'll try to put that on a time that works for everybody. But if you are interested in that class, give your name to Robin, and we'll get you hooked up with that. Amen. We want to go ahead and dismiss kids for Super Church. Amen. You know, last week we had Pastor Jorge from Mexico here. How many enjoyed that? It was tremendous. And he had a tremendous thought. I never even thought about where, you know, you ask somebody, are you a Christian? And they'll say yes or no or I don't know or whatever. But he brought out in the book of Acts, it wasn't Christians that called themselves Christians. It wasn't Christians that decided who and why people should be called Christians. It happened because they lived a certain way. So there's a big question for all of us. Would people call you a Christian at work? A real Christian? Would they see what we see in the Bible to the point where they say, that person's a Christian? And I want to look today at I'm going to take this basically a step further. And turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I'm going to read 12 through 16. And in this portion of Scripture, Paul is speaking to the Philippians, which are Christians, to church there in Philippi. And he talks to them about something that he says, this is the prize of the Christian life. And he says, it is the upward call of God. So I want to talk to you about the upward call of God and what that means. It says in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained. Now, you've got to understand, this is one of the most powerful men in the Bible that's penning this by the power of the Holy Spirit. This man planted churches. This man faced all kinds of persecution. He never bowed down. He ended up preaching the gospel clear to Rome. He was powerful for God. But watch what he says. I love his humility here. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm sure with Paul's case, that would include both his failures and his successes. You know, some people can get stuck on their successes as much as their failures. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I press for the prize, which is the upward call of God. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, so he is challenging everybody today that wants to grow in Christ, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. So let's pray today before we go any further that God would prepare our hearts. Lord, we come. Help us to hear your word. Help us to hear the voice of heaven today. Speak into every person's life. Let no person go from this place unchallenged and unchanged by the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in all the voices that we hear in daily life, Paul talks about not an upward movement, but an upward call. And I looked up that word call in just a Strong's Concordance this week, and it actually means an invitation. So he says that there is an upward call to the Christian's life. God is calling us. He's calling out an invitation to come upward, to go up, to go closer to him, to go to a place that invitation that we've maybe even never been, even a level in Christ that we've never been at. So Paul said that hearing this call was like getting a prize. Hearing this call is when God says, come up, I'm calling you to something greater. He says, this is of ultimate value. See, you see God all through the Bible doing this with men. Do you know God knows your name today? He knows it really well. And if you look through the Bible, right from the beginning, I want you to think about this. Adam in Genesis 3, he messed up royally, probably worse than any man in the history of mankind. Because when he messed up, it messed all of us up, right? It's one thing to mess yourself up. It's another thing to mess every person that ever lived up. Because he sinned. He disobeyed. Take sin serious, right? Right there is the lesson. But here's Adam, and he's messed up. He's blown it. Immediately, he and Eve are aware. It's like they, in their heart, they are convicted. And so then God, but I want you to see, God knows everything, doesn't he? He knew Adam messed up. But then it says in Genesis 3:9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Wow, what, I always looked at that as almost like, retribution or something terrible. But think about this. Adam knew he failed, yet God was still looking for him. If you fail today, God ain't done with you yet. He's still looking for you. And God went through that garden that day. Adam. Oh, man. I'm telling you, on one side, there was probably the terror and the fear of the Lord. But on the other side, he still wants me. He's still trying to get my attention. He called Adam after he had failed and after he was broken by his name. And you go through the Bible and you see it again. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. All through the Bible, you will see God calling people. You know, some people, well, that's just weird. Why would God? Because he loves you, because he created you, because he died for you. 1 Samuel 3:10, watch this. Here's Samuel, and he's just a young boy. His mama wanted a miracle. She couldn't have a baby. She prayed. God gave her a miracle. She had this little boy, Samuel, and at a certain age, but he was still a young boy, she took him and she left him with an old priest in the temple to be trained in the work of God. And one night, he hears this. He thinks he hears a voice, Samuel. So Samuel goes to the old priest. He says, yes, sir. And that priest says, "What? I didn't call you." And it goes, it happens again. And finally the priest says, when God calls your name, Samuel, say, here am I, or yes, Lord. I don't remember exactly what it was. But you know that God knew Samuel's name. He knows your name. And he's still calling out names today. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, the Lord talking here, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and hears my what? My voice. That means God's calling. He's saying, Jonathan, get up. I want to talk to you today. He's saying, Kyle, wake up. Whitney, kick him out of bed. I want to talk to him. Let me realize that. He's calling people. He says he will call us by name. He hears. He says, those that will hear my voice. He stands at the door and knocks. He didn't just bark. He says, Mark, are you home? Matt, has Cassie got dinner ready yet? You know, he knows all about us, don't he? He's calling us. He's saying, I want to talk to you. Today, before you came to church, he knew you. He knows. He knew you're going to be here today. So Paul talks about this, the upward call of God. I'm glad it doesn't say the downward call. It's the upward call. It's just something better, something higher. You know, in life, if you're not careful, people just tend to go lower and lower and lower. When you're young, you have all these dreams. My life is going to be this way. I'm going to marry this kind of person. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be here. And then as life gets older, and as you get older, I was talking to my sister was here this last week, and so she was here for her 50th class reunion. And when you've been out of high school 50 years, the pretense is gone at those things. The beauty contest doesn't matter anymore. You're just hoping you can walk without oxygen. She told me, she said, when we took the class picture, several of them had to sit in chairs because they had oxygen and different things. But what happens in life is there comes to this place where there's no more pretense. And God begins to call us. God begins to speak to us and talk to us. And he's calling us. No pretense, no put on. How many glad that you don't have to pretend with God? You don't have to be popular. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be the highest educated person in the room. And Paul says something very important later on. He says, after he talks about this upward call, he said, by hearing this upward calling, he says, it's by that calling from God that I ordered my life. Philippians 3:16, only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. So let me ask you today, are you ordering your life by the upward call of God? Are you ordering your life, making your decisions, or are you just living life, just going through life? See, can this really be a fact? Can we really daily order our lives by hearing God's upward call? Acts 9, verse 3 says, as he was approaching, now, the reason, this is easy for Paul to talk about. How many remember Paul's beginning? So Paul was a Christian killer. He hated Christians. He delighted to have people arrested. When they stoned Stephen to death, murdered him in front of everybody, Paul was there grinning, holding their clothes for him while they did it. And so, but he's on his way after that. He's on his way to Damascus, and he's going to kill more Christians. And watch this. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, that was his name before God changed it, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul says, who are you, Lord? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now, get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Is it any wonder that Paul says later that I've learned to organize my life by the upward call of God? When I am deciding what to do next, there was a place where he was heading out, and he was preaching the gospel in different, and he made his mind, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this. And that night, in a dream, he's sleeping, and he has a dream, and in this dream, he sees a man from Macedonia saying, come over here. And Paul got up, and immediately the next day, he followed the upward call of God. He went to Macedonia. See, this type of thing, people don't think you can hear from God, but you can hear from God. The upward call is still there. And the more practice you get at hearing it, the better your life's going to be. We can go through life with just carnal sense, carnal understanding, natural thinking. And when we get to eternity, we're going to be shocked, meaning in a bad way. See, if there is an upward call, let's think about this. If there's an upward call, there must also be a downward call, right? If there is an upward call, say, what are you talking about? I'm telling you that God's voice is not the only voice calling to us today. There are other voices. And the Bible talks about, see, there's a world voice or a fleshly voice that calls to all of us. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So how do these things work? Well, I've learned something early on that my flesh calls to me. There's a downward call. I have never obeyed my flesh and gone up from it. I've never just said, you know what, I'm just gonna do what I want to do. But so you have a flesh and it calls to you. You have a flesh and it says, you know, if you'll just gratify this, if you'll just watch a little bit of pornography, you'll be happier. That's the flesh calling to you, right? Perversion doesn't make you happier. It makes you dark. Inside your spirit, it makes you dark. It hurts you. You know, anytime God speaks something, it's not just to goad us. It's not just to confront us. Sin is it's like cancer. How many know God wants to protect you from the evilness that is there? But the flesh calls. The devil knows what is appealing to your flesh, and he knows what is appealing to my flesh. So there is a voice of the flesh. The pursuits of the flesh. Most of the world is just listening. Party, party, party. It'll be fun. The party spirit calls. Kids do crazy things every day because there's a voice saying, just have a little fun. Live it up for a little while. Doesn't matter how many people you sleep with. It doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, those voices are of the flesh. And the Bible says, he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. You know, liquor calls. Drugs call. Pot calls. Getting high calls to people. Oh, you'd feel so much better. Here's that voice. Just pursuing pleasure. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. Pleasure calls. It's all about just having. Friend, I can tell you there's more to life than just pleasure all the time. But pleasure calls. Our flesh calls. And then the Bible talks about the lust of the eyes. And that calls us. It calls us through Amazon. Right? Click, click, click. Money, money, money. You know, we don't know. We didn't know we needed something until our eyes called us and said, you need that, right? You know, how many of your eyes call you? Oh, that little gadget, that little thing. Advertisement works. Your eyes call you. It says, you know what it says? Your eyes say, I must have this to be happy. I must have this. If that was the case, how come people have been happy all this time up till we get to this? And I'll tell you something else calls. The pride of life calls you. What does that voice have? Well, you know what? You can never have any joy in life until you get this degree or make that amount of money. You know that's a lie. Until you get this accomplishment. The pride of life, of our accomplishments. I'm not against education, but I'm against putting my hope in that. I'm against pride in those things. Pride, the pride of life. I'll tell you another really dumb one, but people do it all the time, is the pride of, well, I'm this. I'm white. I'm black. I'm native. I'm whatever. You know that you had nothing to do with that. How can we be proud of our nationality when we did nothing for that? We just were born what we were. We didn't order our parents. They ordered us. Amen? So there's pride. You know, a lot of people, the pride of life. Well, I'm this. Well, my ancestors were that. So what? Are you going to be in heaven? Do you love Jesus? That's what really counts. Amen? So there are voices today besides God's voice, and those voices will call you down. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'll tell you another voice it calls. That's the voice of the devil. There are demonic voices. I was considering, Jesus ministered to this guy. We call him the Gadarene demoniac. This guy was so messed up. He lived in the graveyard, and he would scream and wail. And they would try to bind him, and he would just break off the chains, no matter how big the chains were. And he would take rocks and slice himself and cut himself. Let me ask you a question. Who do you suppose told him to cut himself? You think God did that? You know, the devil did that. You know, he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. God doesn't tell you to cut yourself. But this guy came, and he was broken. Why? Because demon spirits were talking to you. You say, oh, I don't know. No, demons do talk. Devils talk. And so you have to be careful. Let me ask you this. When Eve was in the garden, who talked to her? It was in the form of a snake, but it certainly was not God. It was the devil. And he was in the form of a snake. How many realize what voices you listen to? Right now, some of you are thinking about some things you've heard. Be careful who you listen to. Sometimes God will talk right through a person. They don't know. He talked through us. In this case, the devil talked through a snake. The Bible says God does speak through prophets. So God will speak through people, but so will the devil use voices. So we've got the flesh. We've got the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and we've got demonic spirits. It says in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said, who's he? The devil. He said to the woman, has God indeed said? You know, sometimes the devil just presents a question that puts doubt. You know what he's after? He's after your faith. As long as you believe God, you're okay. But the minute you start to doubt, I don't know about this. I don't know if salvation's real. And then pretty soon you're on that trail. And he said to Eve, he says, has God indeed said? And then in verse 4 it says, then the serpent said to the woman, he will not surely die. God told her, if you eat of this, you'll die. And now he proposes a question, and now he just flat out says the opposite. You know how many voices today say the opposite of what the Bible says? How many voices saying lying's no big deal, but God says lying's a sin? How many voices say homosexuality doesn't really matter, it's just an alternate lifestyle, and the Bible says that it's a sin? Are you with me? There's voices today. They're on NBC, ABC, CBS. Fox has a few of them. The White House has them. There are voices today. Anytime you hear a voice that goes against God's word, watch out. Be careful. Now, say, well, what are we going to do with this? Well, I've learned something that I can train my ears to the right voices. I can train my ears to hear the voice of God. See, every day there's an upward call going on to your life. The question is, are you hearing it? Are you hearing what God is saying? The problem is not God. He already said he will speak. He will talk to us. The question is, are you hearing? I was just pondering that, and you know, if you were hanging out with Vince today, Vince has been driving diesel trucks since before he was born. And if you Vince, you could get into the truck with Vince, and if there was something wrong with that engine, he would hear it. He would say, something's not sounding right. Am I right, Vince? I hear something. There's a tick there. Now, you wouldn't hear it unless you were like him. You know, I've been around animals my whole life. And I can be in the house, and I step outside the door, and I hear a cow bawl. And when I hear that cowball, generally I can tell, is that a normal ball? Is that a troubled ball? Is that you're late for milking ball? And I know, I can hear immediately. You can ask my, I'll tell Rob, something's wrong. I got to go see what's going on there. Why? Because my ears are trained. My ears are trained. You know, my wife is trained towards kids' cries. And she can tell, Peyton's at this place now. If she's in the house with Robin or Anna, she wants to know where they're at all times. And so if you get in the other room, Mimi. And I'm not thinking anything about it. Robin says she's just trying to make sure I'm here. She just wants to know where I'm at. You know what? Robin knows instantly because she's trained. Her ears are trained to hear that voice. How many want to train your ears to hear God's voice? There's hope today because we can begin to hear. See, Paul could hear the voice of God. He could hear the voice of God. See, true success in life comes from hearing the upward call of God. That's where true success comes from. When God says, sometimes he says, run. You know what? The Bible says, flee temptation. Flee fornication and adultery. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, run. Run from that. I mean, if you don't hear that, you'll be staying around and falling and getting into something. Billy Graham shared, it's a true story. People were trying to mess him up. You know, the devil will send people to try to mess you up. And so one night he got done in a meeting, and he came back to his motel room, and somebody had paid a hooker to be there waiting for him, ready to go. And he opened that door, and the Holy Spirit told him, run. And he literally ran from that room and out of that motel. You know what? We need to hear the voice of God. It was important. He didn't walk into something because of that. The Holy Spirit, if you're listening, he'll tell you, speak at a certain time. He'll tell you, keep your mouth shut right now. You ever heard that one? Don't speak. He'll tell you, marry that person. He might tell you, don't marry that person. I've seen lots of heartbreak over the years from people that didn't listen when it came to these decisions about marriage. You know, marriage is a big decision. It's supposed to last a lifetime. He'll tell you, take that job. I've seen God do so many things in my life when I was looking for jobs. You know, he knows how to get you the right job. He knows how to help you if you know how to hear his voice. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to give you a couple keys that'll help you to hear the upward call. How many want to hear the upward call? The upward call, the good call, the call that's going to take you forward in life in a good way. First of all, if you're going to hear the upward call of God, before the call comes, you have to be committed to obey it. You have to be. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. See, many people want God to speak. Then they're going to analyze it and decide whether they're going to listen to what God speaks. God says, I won't bother. He's going to speak to those. You know, Mary's a wonderful example of that. He speaks to Mary, and he tells her, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You've never been with a man. You're not married, but you're going to have a baby. Oh, my goodness, that would be a hard call to listen to, right? She's engaged. She's planning her wedding. And it says, and this is what Mary said, Lord, she said, maybe that. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. You know why God spoke to Mary? Because before he ever spoke to her, he knew Mary would obey. And you know what? When we stop hearing from God, maybe we need to say, where did I stop obeying? When was the last time God spoke and I just ignored it? And now we say, well, God, I want this new word. I didn't like that old word. I didn't like what you said yesterday. I didn't like that word that said repent. Ever had God tell you repent? Get it right? Apologize? Deal with something in your life? So before you can cultivate this, you have to be ready to obey. Because God's not just in this for exercising things. When we stop obeying, God stops speaking. You can write that one. When we stop obeying, God stops speaking. Mary accepted it. She embraced it. God spoke it. And her, you know, her husband was the same way. God told Joseph, go to Egypt. Joseph took Jesus to Egypt and his family. Secondly, so number one, you've got to be committed to obey the voice of God if you want that upward call to come. Secondly, the Bible says in Psalms 42:7, deep calls unto deep. Deep calls unto deep. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. So here's another truth. If you're going to hear the upward call of God, you're going to have to clear the noise out. You're going to have to get quiet. You are going to have to get rid of, you say, what are you talking about noise? I'm telling you, life's full of noise. You know what? You can do whatever you want with social media, but can I tell you, it's a huge distraction in many cases. God can't talk to people because they're too busy scrolling. They're too busy listening to this latest thing on YouTube. They're too busy. Are those things evil in and of themselves? No. But when they take the place and they drowned out the voice of God, we're in trouble. Deep calls to deep. God's speaking something. And people that are listening, be still, he says, and know that I am God. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth, to listen. Verse 28, let him sit alone and keep silent because God has said, has laid it on him. So that waiting upon God, listening to God. Elijah was in that place, and in 1 Kings, he needed to hear the upward call of God. He had done all kinds of, he had called fire down from heaven. He had had 950 prophets put to death, godless prophets of Baal put to death. Then he had outrun a chariot. It had not rained. He prayed and God stopped the rain for, was it 7 years? And then he outruns the chariot and he prays rain again. And then he gets to a place, he's depleted, and he needed to hear the upward call of God. You say, how do I know? Because he's just so tired he wanted to die. He's so tired. He said, God, just please take me home. And then God, something happens. There's a great fire that bursts out there. And then there's a great noisy wind that bursts out there. And after the fire, it says, there came a still small voice. First Kings 19:13. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That man heard the voice of God again. He's one of the few people in history that didn't taste death. How many remember? He went out and God came down in a chariot of fire and whisked him out of here. That's amazing. He didn't hear that without hearing from God. How did he know where to go? How did he know what to do? Because he heard literally the upward call of God, right? Literally, God said, Elijah, come up here with me. And he got in. That really did happen. How many realize that? It really did happen. But the Lord was in that still small voice when Elijah quieted himself. So you have to quiet your life. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to be a legalist here. Turn the phone off for periods of time. You know, kids sometimes struggle and don't grow properly because they have too much noise in their lives. There are kids that can't communicate with people because there's so much social media in their lives. That's for free, amen. Here's the third thing. So number one was what? I have to look back. Be committed to obey. There we go. Number two, get quiet. Number three is this. You will never hear the upward call of God if you are not in your Bible. And when I say reading your Bible, I'm not talking about picking it up every 6 months. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All that comes. How many want to be thoroughly equipped? How many want to be instructed by God? This all goes back to the scripture, to reading your Bible. You are not earning your way to heaven by reading your Bible, but you will hear God talk. You will read your Bible, and you will hear the upward call of God in that scripture. Your doctrine, you'll say, I don't know if your doctrine will get straightened out. When you're corrected, how many would rather be corrected before you blow up? Read your Bible. God will help you, and the upward call will come. Hebrews 4:12 says, For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. What does all of that? The Word of God. Oh, I'm not afraid of the Word of God. I want it to get down inside of me. I want it to sift me. How many want? We'll let the Word of God analyze you. We spend all of our time analyzing each other. We ought to just say, Lord, why don't you analyze me? Because you're fair, you're just, you're right. And judging every thought. So the third thing is read your Bible. The fourth thing, if you want to hear the upward call, the fourth thing is this. And Paul ends with this. He says that if you're going to hear this call, you have to live up to what you already know. Now, going back to our original scripture in Philippians chapter 3, he says, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. To the degree that we've already attained. So you get saved. God shows you things. And, you know, God builds. He starts with the basic foundation, and he builds. And you begin to understand certain things. I can tell you today that there are things that I understand way better than when I first got saved. There are answers that I'm able to give to people. Why? Because God's put them into me over a period of years. But he also alludes to something. He says there's those things that you don't know about. God hasn't spoken to you about it. Is this right? What's going to happen there? You know, when I got saved and I was a part of this church, and it was a part of a larger fellowship. And so when Robin and I were sent out in 1989, we were sent to Phoenix, Arizona to begin pastoring. And I got there in August. We pulled into town in August. And by January, there was a massive split in the fellowship as a whole. And I don't know if you've ever been, I've been through church splits and I've been through fellowship splits, and they can get pretty wicked. You see, why would Christians act? Good question. I don't know. Can't answer those questions. All I know, I felt in such turmoil. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I'd had four pastors. I had two pastors calling me saying, you need to do this and you need to do that. And I had two other pastors calling me saying, what about this and what about that? And so I remember thinking, what am I mean, I'm just a snot-nosed kid trying to obey God, trying to pastor that church there in Phoenix. And then God spoke to me through this scripture. And he said, Jonathan, just live up to what you've already attained. What do you know to do? I said, well, I know how to pray, so I'm going to keep praying. I know how to read my Bible, so I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I know how to love people and help people, so I'm going to keep doing that too. And I told Robin, I said, I don't know about all this other stuff. I don't know about all this stuff that's above my pay grade, but these things I know, and those things I'm going to keep doing. And you know, God took us right through that. He helped us in the church. We never lost one person in the church over all of that. But you know what? We had to walk at the level that we had already attained. Some people, they're starting over from square one every other day. That's not the plan of God. Walk in what you know. See, what do I know? Go right back to the Word, just like I did. And you know what? You'll find that God will take you through and you'll see great things happen. The upward call of God, He's calling today. And you can hear. He knows your name. If you're listening, amen. Let's bow our heads for just a few moments today. The upward call of God. What is He saying today? Now, there are basically two groups of people right here in the church right now. It's not the rich or the poor. It's not the educated or the uneducated. It's not the black and the black or the white or the native or whatever. There's two groups. There are sinners today in this place that have never been saved. There are sinners, and just like Adam, God's calling to you and saying, Adam, Adam, I want to give you another chance. I want to forgive you of your sin. I want to help you. I want to bring you into a right relationship that you have lost. And you know, today God is here and His voice is still calling. Instead of Adam's name, He's saying your name. And the Bible says we've all sinned. We've blown it. We have messed up. And the Bible says sin separates you from God. Any person that says, I know God and I love Jesus, and you're living a lifestyle of sin, you are lying to yourself. Because you cannot have a close relationship with Jesus and be adamantly and rebelliously walking along, doing your own thing. You say, well, I don't think it's wrong. Well, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. So God's calling today sinners unto repentance. If you'll listen, I know when I got saved, oh, what a relief. He took away my sin. I felt literally physically lighter because I knew I was right with God. All the condemnation was gone.